Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby.
So often when we think about speaking to get what we want, we think about the words that we're going to say and how we're going to communicate. But before we do that, we need to fix this. And that's the subject we're going to be talking about today with the great Becca Gurr. Becca, great to be with you today.
So good to be here, Chad. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting, Becca, we talk a lot about the importance of communication and how we communicate to really speak and get what we want and live the life that we know we absolutely deserve. But before we even communicate, there's something that we have to fix. And that's something that you've, over the years, as I've had conversations with you and I've had dialogue with you, it's something that you've really worked on to really master, and that is mindset and fixing your mindset so that you're in the right place to communicate. And Becca, you have a pretty interesting background. So, I mean, now you do live in the United States, you live in Arizona, but before you did that, you're a young girl growing up in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And tell me, how did those early years of your life shape the mindset that you have now? Because Becca, when people talk to you, they're energized by you, they're excited to be around you, and you have tremendous influence over people and around people. But how did you really, in those early years of your life, learn about mindset and how critical it is to the success in our communication?
That's a very loaded question, and I appreciate all the comments, but it's not all the time that people get energized by me. Ask my husband. Oh, yeah. I was trying to get him pumped to wash the dishes, and he wasn't too excited. But that's a really interesting question, because I feel like coming from a different country has given me life experience. I feel like by the time I was 16, I had, like, after experiencing both cultures, and I'll share a little bit more about my journey, but I felt like I was around 30 by then. But so it's hard to say, like, one way that growing up in Brazil has shaped my mindset, but I'll just talk about a couple of early like some aspects of my early childhood. Mm. So both of my parents come from somewhat, so my mom comes from a really broken family. My dad comes from, his parents were together, very good people, but very poor. And so they focused on the immediate, right? Like the survival. We're going to make sure you're fed. We're going to make sure you have the essentials, but emotional needs were never talked about or attended to. And so I grew up in a home where my parents tried to be better at meeting emotional needs, but they also didn't have theirs met. And so communication was always a struggle in my family. But that was never something I noticed until much, much later in my life. But it wasn't that communication wasn't the problem itself. Like you said, communication is always the reflection of where your mind is and where your heart is. And so in my early childhood, it was really common to just say whatever comes to your mind, because that's considered genuine and not necessarily helpful, right? But I just thought, okay, I'm going to say what comes to my mind. I'm going to be very genuine, because that's what my parents value. And because of that, relationships was really hard for me growing up. I just was always outspoken, always said how it was, and I never took into consideration the feelings or the emotion of others. It was always about me. Wow. And I don't necessarily know if that's a Brazilian thing or just my family thing, so I don't want to speak to the whole Brazilian population, but I do think that in my family, this attribute of being genuine was a little bit not tamed. You needed a little bit of, like, taming and, like, you know, because it's good to be genuine, but too much of it might be inconsiderate of others. So that's the first thing I can think of, is the mindset of I'm going to say whatever. It doesn't matter how people feel.
Well, and what's interesting that you say that, Becca, because people now that know you as an adult would never think that you were ever like that as a child. But you said something there that was really powerful. You said that communication is simply a reflection of your mindset. And so that's a powerful statement, because when you were in a challenging space as a young child, the reflection was me. You know, but as people get to know you now, you're older and you've matured and you think more about others. And that's whether you will accept that compliment or not, that's the reality. You're always thinking about others. So what do you think contributed to that shift in you?
Yeah. Again, many experiences, but I think one core one was when we first moved, right? Mm-hmm. So moving to the United States was a big change for me. Like, I was 15, did not want to come. And that was one of the things I told my parents. So let me back up. So my family was struggling with a lot of things. And then one day, to add icing on top of the cake, my dad comes home with a cancer diagnosis. I was about 13 years old at that point. And it was actually a very humbling experience for a whole family. So I'm the oldest of four. I was 13. My youngest sister was about 1 year old, and she had her own set of challenges because she was born with Down syndrome, autism, and hydrocephalus. So, like, think about the combo of disaster.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really hard to take that. And then as soon as we were kind of done with her trials, like, we had processed everything and ready to move on, then my dad comes home with this cancer diagnosis that literally came out of nowhere. Healthy guy, 40 years old.
Wow.
Never smoked in his life, stage 4 lung cancer. And then my whole family just kind of went into chaos again. After 3.5 years, the doctors were like, okay, he's not responding. He has a genetic mutation in his cells, and we don't have the resources to treat it. And so we're just going to cut everything, and then you guys can just, you know, say goodbye. In 3 months, he's going to be gone. So the opportunity to come to the United States came through my aunt, who lived here. And she's like, maybe if you guys come, there will be some research on this specific genetic mutation. We can see if any hospitals will take him. So that's how he came, to see if we could treat it. But the moment we get to the United States, we find out that the cancer had gone to the brain. So they couldn't even get to his lungs. They had to take care of the brain cancer. And then 9 months after, my dad passed. And
so your younger sister's born. She has Down syndrome, autism, and some other challenges that she's battling. So those first year with her trying to figure out her situation and her health was priority one. And you're 12 at the time, 13?
Yeah, I was 12 by the time she was born. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you finally, the dust settles a little bit there and you become, you know, comfortable with, okay, this is our new reality for a moment. Then your dad gets his illness.
Yeah.
Wow. So as a child, it was me, my world. It's my world. And all of a sudden at 12, your world completely shifts and changes.
Yeah.
And then your dad passes away. You come to America and then your dad passes away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And even at that point, I feel like I still made the whole experience about me, which is interesting, because you'd think I'd be turning outwards, but it's normal part of teenage years to be more, you know, like self-centered. And so I don't blame myself as much as I used to, because before I'm like, I was so selfish. Because one of the things I told my parents is we have faith in God. And I told them, like, if God were to save him, and actually if he's that powerful, he can save him wherever we are. We don't need to move. Like, this move thing is just, like, not a great idea. That's kind of how I took it. I try to talk to my aunts, friends at church, like anybody that would take me in, because I did not want to come here. I was like, nope, I'm not going. And so it made my parents' lives even harder, because I can imagine you're dealing with all of that and then you have a teenager trying to run away.
Now, how was your, just a side note, how was your English? Was it
terrible? I got lost at the airport in Los Angeles and I couldn't even say, okay, I get to the airport. I have to tell the story. So I get to the airport and I leave my parents because I need to go to the bathroom and I have no clue what the word for restroom is, right? And so I'm just following the signs. And so I'm just like following the signs and I'm walking for like solid 10 minutes and I'm like, these American people are so weird. They put the bathroom so far away. So I'm like, I get into the bathroom, you know, like do my thing. And then I walk out and then I realize that I passed security.
Oh, no.
I had no documents. I have no
phone. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And
I just could remember like one English class I took. I mean, you're required to take English in Brazil, but it's like Spanish here, you know, like you don't actually learn anything. I mean, I could have learned more if I applied myself, but I just didn't care about it.
Sure.
And so I could remember that one time we learned how to say very good and very bad. But for some reason, I thought very well meant very bad. So I try, like I'm trying to explain my situation in however way I can. And I don't speak Spanish either. Like I speak Portuguese. So go find somebody that speaks Portuguese at an airport. Like what are the odds?
Right.
So I'm there and then I keep telling the people, everybody I meet, I'm sorry, I speak English very well. And I keep saying that. And they're all looking at me like, are you crazy? Like, okay. All right. You're saying it. We believe you. And then they keep talking to me and I'm like, no, you're not getting it. I speak English very well.
Oh, that is great.
Meaning like, don't talk to me in English. I don't understand you. But anyway, so that's like how my communication
problems
have been my whole life. So no English at all. So that's like another thing that I feel like after I moved, I got very isolated because I just didn't want to get out of my comfort zone to even try. And I went to a high school where there were no immigrants. I guess I had like two or three people who spoke Portuguese, but they had been here for so long.
Sure.
That it was kind of uncomfortable to speak Portuguese with me. And so they just never did. And we would see each other every once in a while. And then, but that turned out to be very good because it pushed me, right, to go out of my comfort zone and put myself out there.
Wow. I mean, what incredible stories, difficult challenges, but when you obviously, you could have turned very bitter, Becca. I mean, you could have gotten very bitter and frustrated at your situation because it just felt like things kept piling up on you. And so how did you intentionally choose not to become bitter, but to become the person that you are today? I mean, because that had to have been a decision that you had to make, because you don't just accidentally decide to be optimistic, positive, and create the mindset you currently have. So was there a shift that you remember at a specific time? Or was it something that happened, evolved over time?
I think there was one experience that I had that shaped my mindset. I remember reading this quote by one of our church leaders that said, partake of life's bitter cups without becoming bitter. Mm-hmm. And that was a quote that really stood out to me after my dad died, because things got really hard, you know, like I had to work a lot with my mom and I had to help take care of my siblings. Not that I did a very good job with my immature teenage self. If I could go back, I'd probably change some things. But I also, so that's one experience, like coming across that quote really inspired me. But also I think it's just a gift that I've been given, but also my dad's example, because he went through 3.5 years of chemo and radiation, and I can't think of one single time that he complained. Wow. Or that he was a victim. I think he took every single day as an opportunity to enjoy life. And, you know, and so watching him go through all that with such a positive perspective and not selfish, I think it inspired me to go, okay, if he can do that, I can grieve and I can be better. And I don't know, it just also opened my mind. I think that's when my mind started to open up and go, nobody knows what it's like to go through what I go through. Mm. But I'm so thankful for their kindness nonetheless. And so can I do the same for others? 'Cause I don't understand most of what everybody around me go through. Have no clue, right? Like, I think right. I do, and we right. like to assume things. Our brains just kind of try to assimilate reality, but we don't really know. And so I think there was nobody to blame. Like, who do you blame for? Like, who do you blame when you go through these things? Like, you just can't do that. And so, and life moves on no matter what, right?
Right.
If you choose to be bitter or not, like, life moves on. And so I just decided that I was going to make a lemonade with the lemons life was giving me. And it's been incredible to see how blessed I've been to have the opportunities I have to learn and to grow and to just continue to progress in the way that I live my life. And so I don't know, everybody goes through hard stuff. Like, and the more I talk to people, the less special I feel. 'Cause before I'd be like, wow, this is so hard. Like, I go through so much hard stuff. I think our brains just naturally do that. 'Cause mm-hmm. we want to be like the main character of our story, right?
Right, right.
You're either the hero or the victim. But the more you talk to people, the more you go, oh, everybody's the hero. Everybody's the victim. We're all wounded in one way or another. We're not that special, you know?
Well, and everyone's going through difficult stuff like right. you just said, but you were intentional about choosing two things you said. One, enjoying life. And that's something that when we're trying to communicate and we're trying to speak to other people, they can truly feel within us if we enjoy life or if we're just simply going through the motions. And then you talked about intentionally choosing to be optimistic or intentionally choosing to really make the best out of that situation. And it's a choice. It's not always easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to have the discipline to choose, because it's a lot easier to just be that victim mentality. But I think about you, Becca, and how people are attracted to you and how people want to spend time with you and how people feel energized by you, even if Spencer won't do the dishes immediately, right?
Oh, he's awesome. He's so great.
People are energized by you. And by the way, Spencer, he's not on this podcast right now, but Spencer's like you in the sense of both of you are so fun to be around. You know, we were down there in Arizona and we're like, oh, we got to spend time with Spencer and Becca because we just love spending time with you, which is crazy because, you know, you're our kids' age, right? And so
you're our best friends when we lived in Idaho. We can't think of like better people that we loved being with.
And so it's that energizing optimism that you carry with you. So my question then to you is what would you say to someone who's sitting there in difficult circumstances, swimming in perhaps challenging waters like you swam in, and they're just saying, I just don't know if I have the strength to have that optimism. I don't know if I have the strength to muster that positive mindset. because it's a slippery slope, Becca, because if you have that negative mindset, then you just bring in more right. people that communicate negativity, and then that negativity just festers. And so when I say before you think about what you say, fix this first, you have to fix that mindset. So what would you say to that individual who really wants to, or is living in that victim world and struggling with that energy or desire for optimism?
Okay. I would tell them, change your story. There's this one book that we've read. I don't remember who wrote, but it's called Change Your Story. And I didn't realize how powerful the stories we create in our heads are. And we don't live reality, really. Like, we live our stories, the stories that we choose to embrace. And so if you are feeling stuck somewhere, everybody's against you, you've always been wronged in your life, my heart goes out to you, because those are real feelings.
For sure.
But it may not be the real story. Do you see what I'm saying? The story can be false, creating real feelings. So people live a reality of anxiety, of fear, depression, trauma. That's what trauma is reliving something that's not real. Because I listen a lot to, what's her name? Katie Byron. I can't remember her name, but she's a therapist, and she has... she quote, it's kind of like Jody Moore. She created the whole process of the mentality and how you kind of coach yourself out of those patterns. So it's not counseling necessary. It's more like life coaching principles. And it's really interesting, because she would talk to people on her podcast, and I listened to like two or three of those when I was going through deep anxiety myself. And she would talk to people who have been through severe abuse, and they would get triggered by those same things that they experienced as a child or as a teenager. And she would say, okay, you see those things happening to you all the time in your head. And although that one event was real, what you're seeing right now isn't. Mm. You're safe right now. Like, you are in a different place right now. And so even though it might still hurt, you're hurting because of something that was reality in the past, but it's not reality now. And you can embrace, like, go back and hug your 8-year-old self and go, I'm so sorry this happened to you. Or like your 30-year-old self, your husband said something to you that you didn't like, go back and hug her. Go like, that sucked, you know? Validate those emotions, but then change your story. Go back and go, okay, I'm not the victim. People are not out to get me. I'm not the most unlucky person in the world. Like, you're breathing. I think bringing attention to our breath is really important as well, because it helps us be grounded and go, okay, what's actually real right now? Because our brain is so creative. Like, it's amazing. We have incredible brains, but it can be detrimental sometimes.
Right. But I love that what you shared there, change your story. You know, it's crazy how often we say those things when you just mentioned that a second ago. I'm the most unlucky person. Why do these bad things always happen to me? You know, you say those things, and they just contribute to the narrative that you have in your head, which is bad things happen to me, you know? And you know, TK will often say that, you know, he says his affirmations. He says, you know what? I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, you know? And he lives into those affirmations. And you know what? Watch your words. We're counseled. Watch your words watch your thoughts, because they become your words, and then they become your deeds, right? They are all interconnected. So watch those thoughts and be careful. I love that you use that phrase, change your story, change the words you say about yourself, and be very, very positive towards yourself. You know, it's we often say, Becca, speak kind words to other people, but then we never say, you know, speak kind words to ourselves, you know, right. Does that sound kind of weird? But we It's not. We need to speak kind words to ourselves. And as we speak those kind words, it will literally change your mindset. And as you are intentional about it, you'll see the ramifications because of it. They are all connected. And so I'll have people come to me and say, Chad, coach me on how to speak, coach me on how to say this, coach me on all this. And yet they don't think about their mindset and the stories they're telling them themselves. They'll, when they want to give a presentation in front of a group of people, Becca, they'll turn to me and they'll say, I'm just terrible at speaking. Right. And I'm like, wait, why do you say that? Change your story. Becca, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal statement. And so, Becca, any last comments as we wrap up? Your insights have been phenomenal. The power of mindset and acknowledging, I love that you acknowledge that, you know what, there were challenges that I went in the past. I wasn't always in the best place, but I worked on it. I changed my story, and here I am today. Any other parting thoughts as we wrap up?
I just wanted to add to what you were just sharing about speaking kind words to ourselves. I think we're in a time where, you know, positive parenting, positive self-care, and all of this positive, but we've never been more sad as a society or anxious. And I think it's because we try to find inner peace by changing our story, by creating a story that's not real. So you go from a story that's negative, that's not real, to a positive that's not real, when the reality is something in between. And if you can find, like, you don't, like, maybe you are bad at speaking in front of people, but is there something else that you're good at that you could use and focus on as a strength? You don't have to keep telling yourself a lie, because otherwise, like, how can we progress, right? There are a lot of things I'm not good at that I want to become good at, but I won't become good at those things by saying, oh, I'm good at this, you know? I just need to see I'm bad at this, therefore I'm going to work on it because I'm really good at working on things that I don't know how to do. So, like, you just need to find true story. It's not about creating a fictional world where everything goes your way, because it won't go your way
all the time. Right.
Hard things will still happen, but you can't be afraid, because even if they do happen, you have the skills to overcome them. And so, and with the mindset, it's like, yes, as you speak kind words to yourself, your mindset will shift, but also it will be easier to be kind to others and be graceful to others, because we also go through that, like, 360 with people. They're either horrible or they're the best people in this world. Mm-hmm. When reality is, no, they're neither. That's, you know? And so that will, I feel like that has helped me work with very difficult people that I could never work with before. I work with teenagers right now. I teach teenagers, and some days they're amazing. Some days they stink. And I'm like, I just want to send you back to your parents. I'm so glad you're not my child, you know? But then I have to remember, when they're being amazing, that they're going to have hard days.
Right.
When they're being hard, that they're not bad every day, that they, there's something I don't understand that they're going through. So that allows me to have patience and never change how I feel about them, and how, and that affects how I communicate a lot. Like, anytime you communicate out of frustration, you lost the battle every time.
I love that.
And so the point of changing your story, to me, is to maintain an equilibrium where you can control how you feel and therefore be able to communicate the way that you want to.
Oh, that is powerful. Excellent. Love the insights. Loved everything you shared, Becca. It was great being with you. Have a tremendous day, everyone. And Becca, it was
awesome.
Thanks for sharing what you shared. Have a tremendous day.
Thanks, Chad.
Bye now.
Bye.